Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. Well, all right. Good evening, everybody. I hope you are ready to have some Bible study tonight. We're just going to jump into Scripture. I was so stirred up after Sunday morning. I was very frustrated. Because, like, I'm through my introduction and it's time to go. And I was like, I haven't even talked about anything I wanted to talk about, getting into righteousness. I love talking about righteousness and really understanding it. So I just thought, you know what? I got Tuesday night and I'm going to do it on Tuesday night. So we're going to jump into, your notes tonight are some of the scriptures I had on the bottom of the page from Sunday morning notes and just added just a couple more. But we're going to start with a pop quiz even before I pray. We're going to start with a pop quiz. We're talking about the righteousness of God and just going to unpack it because I want you to get stirred up, genuinely, sincerely stirred up about righteousness. First of all, does anybody remember what that scripture I said on Sunday was? Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteous, peace, and joy. And the last part? In the Holy Ghost. And so those are realities that are kingdom realities. It's not in observing what you eat or what you drink, like a feast day or a festival or whatever. It's not in, do I do the right things? Do I eat the right things? Is my life ceremonially keeping the rules? The kingdom of God is in the realities of it. So it's not performance. It's not keeping the rules. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And because it's the king's righteousness, the king's peace, and the king's joy. His reality is our reality. So his reality of righteousness should be my reality of righteousness. Y'all see what I'm saying? And so I get stirred up about this because righteousness is our new starting point in Christ. We're not trying to get righteous. We are righteous. We've been made righteous. So we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures about righteousness. Hopefully get you stirred up. But real quick, I want to prime the pump, see how many Bible scholars we got in the room. So even if you don't quote it perfectly, and this is an open book test, you can cheat and look in your Bible. I do not want you on Google. That's too much cheating. So you can open your Bible. Tell me some of your favorite scriptures about righteousness. You know any scriptures about righteousness that come to your mind? Any scriptures about righteousness? Any scriptures about righteousness? So Romans 14:17, okay. Anybody know any other scripture? You're about to know a bunch after tonight. Anybody know any other scripture? Yeah.
Isaiah 9 there about his kingdom will be righteousness.
Yeah, righteousness. A lot of times the word justice and in the Old Testament is actually the word for righteousness. Yep. So his kingdom, it talks about righteousness and peace. Absolutely. Isaiah 9. Anybody else? Maybe this section. Anybody? Anybody here in this section? does anybody remember the definition or vaguely remember the definition I gave for righteousness from Sunday? The divine justice and judicial, meaning like a verdict, judicial approval of God, what's right in his eyes. So righteousness is right. It's rightness. It's right in your way of viewing things. It's being made right with God relationally, positionally. There's nothing wrong separating you from God because it was our sin, our unrighteousness that separates us from God. So righteousness means I've been restored into right relationship with God. I'm now in right relationship with God. And then out of that right relationship with God, out of that rightness, I begin to live rightly. It's the act of doing. So doing righteousness never makes you righteous. Performance, religion says, if you do right, you are right. If you do bad, you are bad. And that's a lie. Your doing reveals who you are, but it can also lie to you in the short term. And so once you've been made righteous, like good works, doing good works, doing a good work is a righteous work. Doing good works. We're created to do good works in Christ Jesus. Those are righteous works. And the way I like to say it is, good works never makes anybody righteous, but being made righteous empowers you to do good works. Okay? All right. So I'm going to pray, since y'all don't know anything about righteousness, except two or three verses. And we're, oh, you got one? Yeah, verse Deuteronomy 9, what? I got to see it for myself. I'm curious. I got to see it. Deuteronomy 9, 4. I just got to see it real quick. I love Deuteronomy. I'm sorry, I forgot the Deuteronomy 9, what? Yeah, he's saying, do not think that in your heart. Yeah, so verse 4 says, do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness. And then you, what was the second one you said? Yeah, so it's not about your righteousness. Yeah, so those two are saying the same thing, I think. Yeah. And so, because that's what happens. We end up, you know, God delivers us. He saves us from Egypt, saves us, delivers us. And then he helps us, empowers us. We end up doing better. And all of a sudden we think we did it. We look back and have amnesia and think that we did something. And that's what we can't forget. It's not because of our righteousness. Like God said, oh, wow, look at how awesome you are. Look at all you can do. I probably need to join you. That's not how it happens. It's his righteousness. Like Psalm 23. I was hoping somebody was going to say Psalm 23. Now that I say Psalm 23, can anybody think about what it says about righteousness? Oh my gosh. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay? So righteousness is a pathway, and we'll end kind of on that. But Psalm 23, maybe verse 4 or 5 says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. So look at your notes, and we're going to just jump in the book of Romans, and I'm going to pray, and we are going to get started. So Father, in Jesus' name, help us. Give us a revelation of righteousness. Give us a revelation and a passion for righteousness, peace, and joy. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. So I could turn to a lot of different scriptures looking at righteousness, and I may jump around and hit a few, but I want to kind of just read some of these, just kind of like going through the book of Romans real quick. And it's not every time you see the word righteousness, but let's just do a Bible study to show you what you can do to go through the Bible and look up certain words. So righteousness is a position and righteousness is a condition. Righteousness is a position. We've been made right with God. Righteousness is a condition. I am in rightness with God, therefore I have the ability to do right. So being made righteous as a position means you have the ability to do right. So one of the reasons you need a revelation and passion about righteousness and the righteousness of God is so that you don't believe the lie that your emotions and stuff tell you or your flesh tells you, and you think, I can't do right. You can do right because the righteousness of the King lives inside of you if you're born again. Okay? And so let's look at Romans chapter 1, looking at verse 16 and 17. This is a real famous verse. Romans chapter 1, 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and then also the Greek or the Gentile. For it is, for in it, meaning in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what should a life of faith reveal? Righteousness. We'll see in a second, which we should already know, but we'll see in a second, righteousness is received by faith and it's revealed by faith. Make sense? It's not revealed by works. Righteousness is revealed by a faith that works. But guys, I'm telling you, write this on your notes somewhere. Our new starting point is Christ is righteousness. We start from his righteousness. We don't have to earn our way up to his righteousness. We start with his righteousness, not our righteousness, not our performance, his righteousness. And so I want you to know it's revealed. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God from faith to faith. I just want you to see that. It reveals the rightness of God, the righteousness of God. So Romans chapter 2, just skip over. There's more I could talk about. Romans chapter 1, there's more I could talk about righteousness. If you want to read, you can read more about that because it talks about unrighteousness there. And you can read some about that. But Romans chapter 2, I just want to show you a couple of verses, verse 4 and 5. So, every time I look at this, I want to read other scriptures. Let's just go to 4 and 5. Or do you despise the richness of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? That means the kindness, the goodness of God is what leads you to repentance. Now, listen to this. The kindness and goodness of God comes out of his righteousness, because God is righteous. He's a righteous father. He's a righteous judge. He's a righteous creator. He's righteous. He's righteous. Every unrighteous thing that has happened in your life and in this earth did not happen because of him. He's righteous. And so his kindness, out of his righteousness, his kindness leads you to repentance. But watch what it says, verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God. So reason I wanted you to see this is talking about this revelation of righteousness. A revelation of righteousness is incomplete without the revelation of the day of righteous judgment. Jesus, he said he did not come to judge the world, but there is a day he will judge the world. Acts 17, Paul says that there is a day that he will judge the world in righteousness. And so you have two major judgments that any person faced, the great white throne judgment, which is a judgment of righteousness. Are you righteous or are you unrighteous? Your position. That's the great white throne judgment. All people who are trying it through religion or atheism or just their own, trying to be right in their own eyes, trying to be more right in their actions than they are wrong. Everybody who has a righteousness of their own, which is not the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. Because remember, Sunday I talked about he is your righteousness. the Lord our righteousness. So everyone who does not have the Lord as their righteousness, and they're measuring how good or bad, you know, they are, you know, they will go before the great white throne judgment, which is the judgment of righteousness. And the scriptures are clear. If you've sinned once, you are unrighteous. That's the great white throne judgment. That's heaven or hell issue. Then for those who, like when I walk through, they can be like, show me your righteousness. His name is Jesus. You know, that's, he is my righteousness. And through faith in him. And then once you make it past the great white throne judgment, so to speak, the judgment for people in heaven is the Bema seat, or the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where all of us will stand before the righteous king to give an account of how responsible we were in stewardship of the righteousness he gave us. And all unrighteous things will be tested by fire, and we will have to give an account of the unrighteousness that we lived, as we did, and we gave into. Just think about this, facing the righteous king who lived inside of us. It's just, to me, it's incredible that the one who lived inside of us, I'm now standing in front of. That's the judgment seat of Christ. So there is a judgment of righteousness, the day of judgment. This is not that day, but there will be that day. And for the unbelievers, it's the great white throne judgment. For believers, it's the judgment seat of Christ. I didn't even mean to get into all that. See what I'm doing? Gosh. So Romans chapter 3. Let's look at Romans chapter 3. We're going to just one, two, skip a few through Romans. This has a bunch of really cool stuff. It's hard not to read a lot of this. We'll just look at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And it goes on saying, you know, quoting from the Old Testament. And look at verse 19. I got 21 and 22, but just look at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So what is God's purpose? Is to show through the law that everybody born is guilty because you were born in unrighteousness. He's not trying to punish you. He's not trying to shame you. Matter of fact, he took your punishment. He took your shame on the cross. But before you realize that you need a Savior and you can receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, you need to realize you're guilty. Because if you don't see yourself as guilty, why would you? If you don't see yourself as sick, why would you take medicine? So the law is to show us we're sick. Jesus came to save us and heal us. And so the goal of the law is to stop every self-righteous, self-justifying mouth. Just stop. Stop justifying it. Stop. Just stop. Stop. You're guilty. Stop. You're guilty. That's the purpose of the law. And verse 20 then goes into, therefore, by the deeds of the law, or the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. That means no self-righteousness or social righteousness will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, or the knowledge of unrighteousness. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law. I love this verse. The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So the righteousness of God that did not come through the law, but yet the law is a witness and reveals it. Because the righteousness of God came from something before the law, Christ himself. So the law described what already existed, his righteousness. But what it shows us is he is righteous, we are not. And so it's revealed in the law, but the source is not the law. Does that make sense? It's kind of what he's saying. And hopefully that makes sense. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It just goes on to this awesome stuff. And so it's you're made righteous through faith in Christ. Skip over to Romans 4, 3 and 13. Romans 4, if you've never read Romans 4, oh my goodness, it's good stuff. Romans 4, again, this is about righteousness. Look at verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Boy, isn't that a great question? In our society, what do this group say? What does that group say? What does the scripture say is a great question. And if you're arguing with somebody, that's a great question. Don't ask it snooty and snarky and sarcastically, but what does the scripture say on that? And just look at it. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or imputed to him for righteousness. So Abraham didn't work in order to get righteousness. He didn't earn righteousness. He received it by faith. And that's the covenant that we have with God. Skip down to the whole chapter talks about that. Skip down to verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, meaning through performance, through your work, your ability to work, your ability to be good, but through the righteousness of faith. So the righteousness of God is also the righteousness of faith, that you believe in what Jesus did for you to make you righteous. You believe that. And I'll talk more about that here in just a few minutes. Well, and skip down, since we're down here, verse 17, Romans 4, 17, just skip down here. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, meaning God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Let me tell you precisely, God's talking about a lot right there. God, God is a creator. He operates by faith, and he calls those things that are not as though they were. That's how God operates. That's how faith operates. But precisely and specifically, what is God talking about here? He's talking about, you could paraphrase it this way. God called Abraham righteous, even though he wasn't. See, we would believe our actions over the word of God. Now, I'm not saying it's okay for you to have unrighteous actions. You will stand before God for your unrighteous actions. But the lie you do not need to believe is your unrighteous actions make you unrighteous. It makes you unclean in the sense of you are filthying, the filth of the flesh is contaminating your life, but your spirit man, you are sealed in your spirit. You are righteous. And the reason why that's important is so you remember who you are, you remember who he is, and you stop sinning. The best power to stop living in unrighteousness is to realize you're righteous. And to believe that to the point of action. But if you believe, I'm just unrighteous, I'm just going to try to be righteous, but I'm unrighteous. That's who I am. That's what I, just being me. I can't help it. You've believed a lie. You believed a lie. So he called Abraham righteous, even though he's not. And here's the deal. He calls you righteous. He calls me righteous, even though we don't always walk perfectly in righteousness. Now, I don't mess with some people who've been raised in some little bit of judgmental church. So Romans 5. And again, this whole chapter, I should have just read the whole book of Romans. But Romans 5, again, if you've never read this chapter, it's incredible. But for sake of time, let's look at 17 through 19. 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance or receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So we'll reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. So here's what I want you to do. In verse 17, where it says, "For if by one man's offense," underneath that one man, or if you have a Bible you can write in, write the word Adam. Because it's talking about the first Adam. And then, so through Adam's offense, death reigned. And the rest of the chapter talked about Adam brought sin into the world, unrighteousness into the world, and death came in through sin. So what does unrighteousness bring? Death. And then Adam, so Adam, verse 17, by Adam, by his offense, death reigned through the one, meaning through Adam. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. So what Romans 5 does is it contrasts the first man, the first Adam, who sinned, and the second Adam, who's also called the last Adam, who is Jesus Christ, who came to redo what the first Adam failed to do and bring us back to righteousness and reconcile us back to God. So that's what Romans 5 contrasts. Are you of the first Adam? Anyone who's born in this earth is born of the first Adam. And then if you're born again through faith in Christ, you're born of the second Adam. It's new birth. And you receive a new identity. And just like death reigned in you, righteousness shall reign in you. Look at this. First of all, no, righteousness is a gift. Righteousness is a gift. It's not earned, but it's learned. It's a gift that you have to learn how to apply to your life, but it is not earned. A gift is not a reward. A gift is given on day one. A reward is earned after the job is done. Righteousness is a gift, and it's a gift to help you reign in life through Jesus. Reign over what? Reign over your flesh. Reign over the devil. Reign over everything that is part of the curse. He's called you to rule and reign for righteousness. That's why it's powerful and important for you to know, have a revelation and a passion about the righteousness of God, because it's not just are you right or are you wrong. It's the ability to live right and to reign over the things that are trying to get you to live wrong. And you've got to take authority over those wrong things from your new starting point in the righteousness of God. That makes sense? Let's just keep going. Verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, which is that's the first Adam, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man, one man's righteous act, meaning Jesus, the free gift came to all man, resulting in justification of life. I got to stop and say this because some people teach weird stuff. You ever met people teach you weird stuff? So some people see, Pastor John, see that verse? Everybody's already saved. That's not what that verse is saying. That verse is not saying Jesus died and was resurrected, so the whole earth is now saved again. Everybody is not saved. The gift and the sacrifice for their salvation has already been given, but they have to receive it. So it's those who put their faith in Christ is who he's talking about. And some people will just teach you, oh, no, that verse means that everybody's already saved. That's not what that verse is saying at all. It's everyone who has received that gift, put their faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's your first birth. You were made a sinner at birth. Why did you sin? Because you were made a sinner. You did not become a sinner because you sinned. You were sinning because you were made a sinner. And also by one man, meaning Jesus, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So you need to understand the moment you believe Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, which we were doing a grief group the other night. On Wednesday nights, we do a grief group, life group at our house. And there's a lady there, I don't want to say her name, but A few months ago, her husband passed away. And before he passed away, he came, somebody in his family told him, and he was kind of grumpy, told him he had a report from the doctor that he was sick and that he wasn't going to live much longer. And he was, I'm not sure exactly his age, but I'm sure it was in his upper 60s or 70s. And so he had not a good report from the doctor, not many days to live. And so somebody in his family said, "You're going to see Pastor John." So he came in very reluctant, came in, sat down, arms crossed. "I don't like pastors." And I was like, "I don't like some either." And we sat down and started a conversation, and a door opened. It was like incredible. It was like the heavens was pulled back, a door opened, and I talked to him about salvation. And with a very, he looked like a child. I'm telling you, with a beautiful, sincere heart, this 70-something-year-old man who'd never been in church, was illiterate, didn't know how to read, with tears coming down his eyes, gave his life to Christ. Then he passed away a few months later. And now his widow is in our life group. And she wasn't talking. For a couple weeks, she wasn't talking. She was just sitting there. And so I asked her. I said, I had an amazing time with your husband, leading him to the Lord. And I'm just going to ask you a question I asked him. If you were to die today, where would you go? And she said, "I don't know." Anyways, long story made short, I got to lead her to the Lord. And it was just like, how cool. And it's just cool. So the day you're born again, you're made righteous. Now in your soul and in your body, in your thinking and in your behavior, there's still unrighteousness. But you've been made righteous in Christ so that the new you that's in you can reign over the old you that's on you. If that makes sense. So you can't believe the lie, "I can't live righteously." No, you can. The only reason you sin is because you want to. It's not that you have to. People don't like it when I say that. So look at the rest of this. Matter of fact, just say this to yourself. Say, "I've been made righteous." And if you know you've been made righteous, you stop trying to make yourself righteous. Verse 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign." Notice the reigning, the authority, the reigning, the ruling and reigning. "So that grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now let's go to Romans 6. Look at all this stuff about righteousness. And you flip over. I've got this in your notes. Romans 6. We'll start at verse 13. The whole chapter is incredible. Matter of fact, you just need to read the book of Romans. Verse 13. "Do not present your members as instruments." Now that word instruments can mean a tool or a weapon. "Do not present your members." What are your members? Your mouth, your eyes, your hands, your body. Don't present your members to instruments, tools, or weapons of unrighteousness. Don't present yourself to that. Unrighteousness to sin. "But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." So instead of going to pick up that drug or that thing or go do that, whatever it is that you do, instead of doing that, you remind yourself, "I've been made righteous. And the righteousness of God reigns in me, so my members don't control me." You ain't the boss of me. My members don't control me. My passions don't control me. My emotions don't control me. My circumstances do not control me. So I rule, righteousness reigns in me to take authority over those things and say, "No, we will do right because we are right with God." And you take authority over your flesh. And you may say, well, it's hard. You go right against the current of your emotions. You go right against all that. And if you've been living by your emotions, this will feel impossible. But if you live by faith, all things are possible. And so verse 14, so look at the result. For sin or unrighteousness shall not have dominion, that means authority and power, over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Remember, the grace reigned through righteousness. Oh, it's just so cool how faith and grace are connected into that. Verse 15, look at this. This is good stuff. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching or doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Everybody in this room, I could probably argue, knows how to be a slave of sin. And what you need to realize is when you were made righteous, you were made a slave to righteousness. It's just, I just love it. I just love it. So watch verse 19. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanliness, meaning sin, and to lawlessness, meaning sin, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were freed in regard to righteousness. You weren't trying to be righteous. You were doing your thing in sin. And it goes on just to, it's just good. All right, skip over to Romans 8. Another chapter that's incredible. Look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, please get this. What the law, remember, the righteousness of God is revealed apart from the law, but yet it witnesses, it's witnessed by the law. So what the law could not do, what the law could not do, because it was weak in the flesh, God did. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That's why there's no condemnation to those who are spirit-born beings, because sin is condemned in the flesh. Why? That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And it goes on, if you set your mind according to the things of the flesh, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. It goes through this whole amazing thing about if Christ is in you, then if his Spirit lives in you, then the same Spirit that gave life to Jesus, that resurrected Jesus, will give life to your mortal bodies. And so it's talking about we have this righteousness in us. So the thing you need to get is Jesus met the righteous requirement that you and I cannot meet. He already met it. So stop trying to meet the righteous requirement. Receive what he finished for you and let that be your new starting point as you reign over your flesh, over the devil, and over this world. Does that make sense? And hopefully I'll land on that squarely in just a minute. I was going to share something else in that chapter, but just keep going. Go to Romans 10. Romans 10, 1. Man, I love this one too. So let's just read for a minute. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, meaning the, the Hebrew, the Jewish people, is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal, meaning a passion for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Please see the contrast in that. When you're ignorant of God's righteousness, you try to establish your own righteousness, and it keeps you from submitting to the righteousness of God. That's what our nation has done. That's what people do. We need to look at God's righteousness, you know, because, you know, righteousness exalts a nation. And there's so many scriptures we could look at about all that kind of stuff. But we, you know, the Bible says, do not be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Do not be ignorant about Satan's schemes. We also don't need to be ignorant about God's righteousness. We need to know God's righteousness. And then watch verse 4. For Christ, meaning Christ Jesus, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Oh my gosh. I love that scripture. It's going to be tough for me not to just stop right there. Christ is the end of the law. He's the end of it. That word end is telos in Greek, which actually means the fulfillment, the end purpose. So Christ is the end purpose. Christ fulfilled the righteous requirement. So when believers start trying to be righteous in their works instead of through faith, then what happens is you set yourself up for unrighteousness. And you're living under the law, which means you're living under your ability to be right. The law is like you're living under your ability to be right, where grace is living under God's ability to be right. And the law shows what is right, but it doesn't empower you to be right. So if you live by the law, you are separating yourself from the power of grace, which empowers you to live right. And so the point is, Christ is the end of the law. So Christ is the end of my performance. Christ is the end of my effort. The beginning of my commitment and discipline and discipleship and faith that works and obedience. But it's the end of my effort and my performance, if that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That believes like specific doing certain things physically, like appearance and things like that.
Yeah, holiness stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It becomes this outward thing of an outward expression of righteousness. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know what New Testament they're reading, or even Old Testament for that matter. It's Christ is the end. And that, again, that word end is not like the end of the movie. Like, what was that guy that was said, that's all, folks? Porky Pig. There you go. I don't know why he just popped in my head. It's not like the end of the movie. That's all, folks. It's the purpose. Christ is the purpose of the law for righteousness. So he is my righteousness. Now, through my relationship with him, I absolutely let his righteousness come out through my life, through obedience. So there's never an excuse for disobedience. It's actually, it ante's everything up. You never have a justifiable excuse for disobedience, because the righteous king lives inside of you. So you always have the ability to do right. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes, you're following. Yes. Yeah. And some people have certain convictions that you can live your convictions on certain things like that. and you walk that out. But when it comes to am I right with God? Like if I go to the movies, oh, I've just lost my righteousness. I'm not right anymore. And then I've got to come weep and mourn and do all. No, that's not true. You need to confess your sin. You need to repent from your sin. And you need to be cleansed from your sin. God will confront you. And he will, all that stuff. But he never, even if you were to do your worst sin right now, your worst sin possible right now as a believer in Christ, he'll correct you from a position of righteousness, reminding you that you're righteous. It's not like you've moved to unrighteousness. You need to repent to come back into agreement with your identity. You know, that's why I say, like, you forgot who you are. Because if you were made unrighteous, if unrighteousness made you unrighteous, then you'd need a new cross and new blood to make you righteous again. Now, is there a point that people say, can you lose your salvation? No, you cannot lose your salvation. Is there a point where you can walk away from God? There's enough in the scriptures to say it might be. But I'm not the one to say, oh, you've lost your salvation. Oh, my gosh, you were at the movies, or you did this, or you did that. You know, like, that's how some of them do. No, is there a point? If you don't want to be in heaven, God ain't going to make you be there. That's how I look at it. You know, but it's not our job to judge who's where. It's our job to walk righteously and be responsible with righteousness. So let's keep reading in verse 10, or verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. That's the righteousness of the law. Okay, verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend to the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that word of faith that we preach. Kelly talked about this just this Sunday. The word that we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes, and look at it, underline it, believes unto righteousness. That's how you receive the gift of righteousness. So it's not just I'm saved. Well, what is being saved? I'm made righteous. So the very minute I'm saved, the very second I'm saved, I'm made righteous. And that's why I need to be discipled to start unpacking how do I reign in this righteousness that I now have. Not how do I get more righteousness. You'll never get more righteous. You will never get more righteous than you are the day you were born again. Never. Your maturity is releasing the righteousness you received in your spirit, man, releasing it to the other areas of your life by yielding yourself to him. So righteousness is a gift, but the maturity and stewardship of releasing that righteousness will be rewarded. The Bible actually talks about a crown of righteousness. So I just want you to see that salvation makes you right with God. So the day you are born again, you must stop seeing yourself the way you used to see yourself before you were born again. You are not that person anymore. I don't care if you act like that person. I don't care if you do the same things that you used to do. If you were truly born again, you are not that same person anymore. And the day you believe that is the day you stop doing that stuff. I hope that makes sense. All right, so let's go to Ephesians 4. Make a left. We'll leave Romans now and go to Ephesians 4. Gosh, I looked up thinking it was maybe 8:30. I lost track of time. Guys, this is the kind of stuff I do for fun. I just go through scripture and read and see where the Holy Spirit leads back and forth. And I try to just write some down for you. Again, whole chapter is good. Can't help it, it is. Let's look at I want to start in verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk or live as the rest of the Gentiles walk, meaning the unbelievers, in the futility, the emptiness, the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated or separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to the lewdness, and that's like this thing about just dirty, wicked partying, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him and the truth that is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means your spirit is renewing your mind. Your new spiritual identity is renewing your mind, that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So you were recreated in righteousness and holiness. Matter of fact, you know the scripture that says, be ye holy for I am holy? Peter says, be ye holy for I am holy. People misunderstand that. He's not coming to us saying, look, you need to be holy because I'm holy, so why can't you be holy? Be holy because I'm holy. You need to be like me. Be more like, it's like somebody saying, be more like your brother. He's not speaking from that. What he's saying is, the way I would interpret it is, what he's saying is, you have the capacity to be holy because I am holy. Be holy for I am holy. Yeah, you got something? That's in Peter, 1 Peter, I think. Let me just look real quick. Is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? There you go. So verse 15 says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, from your aimless conduct received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ Jesus, a lamb without blemish and stuff. Is that what you're thinking, or what were you thinking? Yeah, there's 1 Thessalonians. I've got a couple other scripture notes here, but that we could chase rabbits and look at. But on that scripture right there, it was, I don't know, a few months ago I was reading about that and just thinking about that, like it was jumping out to me of like, you know, like be holy for I am holy. Like I am your holiness. I'm the one who gives you the capacity to be holy. And but you got to believe that, you know? Like for example, in John like 7, maybe something like that. One day, some people asked him, "Lord, how do we do the works of God?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Here's how you do the works of God: believe on the one whom he sent. He is my righteousness; therefore, I can be righteous. He is my holiness, therefore I can be holy. He is my purity, therefore I can be pure. Hebrews 12 what? That's talking about correction and stuff. And, you know, and so I believe, you know where it says, blessed are the pure in spirit, for they shall see him. That word pure is the same word for holy. And so it takes holiness to see the Lord. Otherwise, you put blinders on. It's not, it. People think the Lord's hiding from you. No, you're putting blinders on. You blind yourself from seeing the Lord in most cases, maybe not all cases, but I think in most cases, like the blinding of your mind and heart that keeps you from seeing the Lord. But the reason I'm saying that to you is for you to be able to say, he is my holiness. He is my righteousness. So he is by grace through faith, he's given me the ability to be holy, to be righteous. I'm telling you, you have that mindset. You're facing circumstances. You're facing things. You stop living. Christianity is not you living in your ability. It's you living in his ability. And you do that by grace through faith in every area of life. And then what will happen is that holiness is like a fragrance over everything you do, yourself, your life, your thoughts, the meditations of your heart, your family, your business. Everything you do will have this different fragrance to it. It'll be holy, not overly religious, making everybody keep the rules. I'm not talking about that. There'll be a purity to it and a freshness to it. And it'll be really, really cool. And then Ephesians 6:14, does anybody know what Ephesians 6:14 talks about? And I'll give you a hint, it has the word righteousness in it. No? What? Oh, close. Close for a media guy. Armor of God. Ephesians 6 is armor of God, so what's righteousness? Say it louder. Breastplate of righteousness. You know why there's a breastplate of righteousness? To protect your heart from the lies of the enemy making you feel like you're unrighteous. It's a breastplate of righteousness. I believe it's there to shield and protect your heart against the lies and the arrows of the enemy trying to make you believe you're unrighteous. Because if you believe you're unrighteous and you're already saved, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. How are you going to reign in righteousness if you don't believe he made you righteous? The only alternative is to go back under the law and start working it out. And that's how you open the door for more sin. Because you're walking in your ability, not his. And then 2 Timothy, let's all go there and we'll end it there. 2 Timothy 3:16. I hope you know this verse. If not, you have a good opportunity to learn it. Last verse, and then we're going home. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, which actually means a pathway, for reproof, that means a warning, for correction, that means correction after you did not heed the warning, and for instruction, meaning after you needed correction, you needed re-instruction or training in righteousness. And it literally means in the paths of righteousness, in walking out righteousness. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for righteousness, is basically what it's saying. That the man, and that word man is man or woman, it's mankind, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. for every righteous work. So you have to believe the scriptures. You have to believe the scriptures. And for people who are not born again, what they need is the law to show them that they're guilty and they're unrighteous and they need a savior. But once you are born again, the law reveals the righteousness of God. But the source of righteousness is grace, the grace of Christ. And by grace, through faith, I've been made righteous. I'm telling you, if you'd walk around and say that all the time, by grace, through faith, I have been made righteous. I have been made righteous. Your emotions will do unrighteousness. Your body will want to do unrighteousness. Your mind will think unrighteousness. But you bring all that into obedience and say, nope. The righteousness of God will reign in and through my life. And I take authority over my body and say, we will do righteously. That make sense? Telling you to change your life. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray a continued revelation of righteousness. That your righteousness will well up inside of us, overflow through our life. Grow us, strengthen us, help us, God, even in times of temptation and battle, that we will remember with an authoritative voice, we have been made righteous, and your righteousness will rule and reign in our life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.